Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the one who was and who is and is still yet to come, forever God. Amen. There is great confusion in our world today. And because we are Americans, and because I particularly understand this culture better than those in other places, I would hasten to say there's great confusion today among our own people. And this is not in regards to things like global warming, whether you subscribe to that or not. Nor are we drilling down on illegal immigration or other social issues that are facing us. Today's focus has far greater implications. The confusion that we're seeing today is in regards to the most fundamental, the most important, and the most eternity-shaping truth of all. Namely, who is God? And you may be thinking to yourself, well, Pastor Art, I think you're preaching to the choir today. It might sound like that at this point. Because after all, we are in many ways a traditional congregation that's a part of a conservative Christian denomination. But let's also be honest with ourselves. In the last 50 plus years, our culture has shifted dramatically to the left. So much so that that change, that shift, has infiltrated the values, the moral beliefs, the faith systems of millions and millions of people who still call themselves Christians. But we can't help but see the results in nearly every aspect of our society. For example, because so many have lost sight of who God is and the one they should believe in, families today seldom resemble that of even in my lifetime. Elementary schools and universities alike have new agendas today. The whole matter of national security is also impacted by the one we believe is God. And we haven't even touched yet on how the one that we believe in affects where we spend eternity. And so for those and many more reasons, this Trinity Sunday, this specific day in which we explain and exalt the one true God, it seems more timely than ever. A clear, unapologetic understanding of the Trinity, I believe it is invaluable. And I was reminded of that as recently as last Sunday when, in our New to Trinity class, one of the persons there said so humbly and so beautifully, "My most precious gift in life is my spiritual life." If you would agree with that, then perhaps I am preaching to the choir. Because that means we're all in agreement. That's a good thing. Because our finest, our highest goal in life is to live in a faith and love relationship with the one and only true God. The one who has revealed himself to us as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as I thought about my approach for this message, it seemed that there were two viable options. I could explain in some detail the handful or so of the most well-known so-called gods, those who are thought to be God. Could he be one or more of the ancient Greek gods? Perhaps one of the several Hindu gods. Maybe he's Buddha, or even Allah, the God of the Muslims. But if we took that approach, it would take away from the time that we had in order to truly focus on and lift up the true God. So this approach seemed better to me. To be sure of the one that we believe in, we must rely solely on the Bible, on Scripture. Because since down through time, God has made himself known to his people. And since those truths have been written down and preserved so that there's no confusion, it's only wise, it's only prudent that we stay with the original source. And this is my own personal conviction. One of the reasons that people make up other gods to believe in is because they haven't read the Bible. In our society, at least, that's not because they aren't available. I would ask you to count the number of Bibles that you have in your home. That may be a problem in other places around the world, but not with us. Our problem is that people today, by and large, just don't care to read God's Word. And it's for that reason they are ignorant of who God is. It's an easy step then for them to go along with whatever society says and does, or to trust in a God of their own making. But let's bear this in mind. This world is being directed by the prince of darkness, by the father of lies, by one who masquerades as an angel of light. Not so, however, for true believers. And the thing that makes us certain is our humble submission to God's word. I mean, think about it. There is only one who is true God. By definition, there can only be one who is ultimately supreme, one who rules and reigns over all. And guess what? That's exactly where Scripture begins. Genesis 1:1 couldn't make it any clearer. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Has any other God ever created anything, even a speck of dirt? And yet the one who is true God has created everything. Everything there is had its start then and there. Except the one who is God. Because he existed from the beginning, from before the beginning. How, you ask? It's simple. He's God. And there's only one. To be God is to be in a class all by himself. He may have many rivals, but he has no equals. Is that the message of Scripture? Absolutely. Over and over again. In fact, 1,000 years after creation, it was Moses who was leading his people into the promised land. Moses who instructed God's people with these words. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And why did he give this strong, clear word of instruction to the Israelites? It was so that they would not go off chasing after the false gods there in the land of Canaan. And 1,000 years after him, it was the one who is God who told the prophet Isaiah that he was still the only God. Isaiah 45 verse 5 says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God." Has any other God ever lived and reigned for thousands of years? If so, Bring him out. Not to mention, has any other God existed before time began? Of course not. So it bears saying again, to be God is to be absolutely unique, to be one of a kind. And so from the beginning, God has revealed one of his unique attributes as this. He is one God in three persons. And when did God first make that clear? You want to guess? How about as early as Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, you know the sentence, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That word God in the original Hebrew is the word Elohim. And Elohim is a plural noun, not a singular. And a few verses later, these same three persons of the one God made himself known again in saying this, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And yet the truth of the Trinity comes through the clearest of all in the New Testament. It was there at Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3 that our Savior was there in flesh and blood. And we're told that the heavens opened and the voice of the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." And again, the Spirit of God descended on Jesus like a dove. In the Gospel of John, Jesus insisted, "I and the Father are one." And repeatedly, as we even heard again last week on Pentecost Sunday, Jesus identified himself with the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." So let's pause here. If you're looking for the most detailed explanation of the Trinity, at least from our human source, do you know what it might be? It might be that creed that we never speak. It might be the Athanasian Creed. It was a creed that was written towards the end of the 5th century, written in response to a heresy in North Africa, a heresy that said that Jesus was not true God. You can read the Athanasian Creed for yourself. It's on pages 319 and 20 in the hymnal, and it's, of course, available online. Just Google it. It's there. And I think the date of the Athanasian Creed is very telling. I said it was out of the end of the 5th century, which is another way of saying that mankind's confusion over who God is, it's not anything new. In fact, I would say that it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And that's where Satan planted some seeds of doubt there in Eve's mind. He didn't go so far as to deny the reality of God. He's much too wise for that. But he did paint a false, deceptive picture of God. One that led Eve to believe more in the serpent than in the God in whose image she had been made. Well, we still hear those kinds of voices today, don't we? But they aren't speaking the truth, not God's truth. It is God's truth, however, that shall prevail. The gates of hell will not stand against it. So what can you and I, what can we as those who have been blessed to live in the light, what can we say and do to help the people we know not be misled? Here's our application on this Trinity Sunday. In talking to the people you know, why not just ask them this open-ended question? What do you believe about God? Ask the question and then shut up. Don't say anything. Listen. Unless, of course, they ask you a question. And they might. They might say, well, what do you mean? At which time you would just kind of... And they might say something like, well, you know, God is forever. God can do whatever he wants. And God is love. How would you respond? Whether their answer came straight from Scripture or if it came clear out of left field, how would you respond? Well, what could you say that would further engage them and ultimately that would point them to Jesus? Well, what if you did this? What if you put in conversational form the things that we say together here every week? What if you shortened the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed so that it sounded less like church talk and more like heart talk? You could say, well, obviously there's one God, and the Bible tells us that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father created everything. His Son Jesus came down to earth in flesh and blood to be our Savior. Our Savior who remained sinless so that when he died and rose again, he won our forgiveness. And together with the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us when we sin, when we do wrong. And then he gives us faith in Jesus so that we know we're forgiven. It's the Holy Spirit who's with us always. He never leaves us. And at the end, he will give us eternal life. You know, in those quick 30 or 45 seconds, you have just shared God's truly good news. You have identified our sin and God's grace. You were clear and non-threatening. And you did it in a way that God was glorified and your friend was given hope. Hope that is found in the one true God. Yes, the God who loves us. The God who, together with his Son and his Spirit, lives in us so that we might live with him forever. Is there anything confusing about that? Amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.